Oh my goodness, this podcast is called Real Life Parents for a reason. Like, we don't want to sugarcoat things. I don't want to tell you that every single day I work is amazing and that I don't want to be home, because sometimes I do. But guess what? Sometimes I want to be away from the house, and that's why I've chosen to work. And so really, it's about owning what you've decided.
Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner, and sponsored by ParentEQ.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. I am Jasmine, one of the hosts of the podcast, and I am so excited because today you get to hear from me. Yay! It's been a while since I've done a solo podcast episode, and there is a reason for that, and I'll explain that later. It actually is related to the topic that I've chosen for today, so it all kind of goes together. But thanks again for joining us. We're really excited to have you here. If this is your first time on the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast, the way that the podcast works is my husband, Sean, who is a therapist, a lot of times he'll be interviewing real life parents, and those are the podcasts that you hear, the episodes that you hear when there's a real life parent on, and you can look through the episode library and see those. And then I do solo episodes every once in a while just to talk about things I'm passionate about and about parenting. And overall, the overarching reason for us doing this podcast is to help people approach parenting from an angle of emotional intelligence, and just to be able to be more intentional in their parenting. There are other ways to connect with us other than just this podcast. We do have an Instagram account and a Facebook account, and you can check us out at Real Life Parents Podcast, or just look up Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers on Facebook, and you'll find us. There's also links in the actual show notes here, so you can find us no matter what. We'd love to hear from you there. We'd love to connect with you there. It is kind of weird when you go on a podcast and you can't leave comments. I always feel like, oh, I want to leave a comment, but I can't. So we would love your comments if you just leave them, send us a DM or comment on our posts that are related to the different episodes. So again, as I mentioned before, the topic for today is related to the reason why I have been so busy and I haven't done any solo podcasts lately. So I recently changed jobs. I do have a full-time job, and this is the first time in our marriage when I've actually worked full-time. Now, that doesn't count a time when we owned our own business, and if you've ever owned your own business before, you literally work like double full-time. So that doesn't count that, but Sean and I were running that business together, so it was kind of a different situation. This is a regular 9-to-5 job that I am working at. And most people, when I tell them I have 8 children, are like, what the heck? How do you do that? Most moms who have lots of kiddos like me are full-time stay-at-home moms, or maybe they have a side job, but they are not working full-time. So rather than going into like why we chose to do it, which would be like a whole different episode, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the challenges and the things I've learned working full-time. So it's been, how long has it been now? A couple of years since I started working full-time, and Sean has been doing different things all of those years as far as what he's done on his end and what he's been doing for work on his end. So it's kind of changed a little bit the way it feels. Right now, the majority of what he does is done really flexibly. He can do some of it at home. And so he really does have, a little bit more time. He's spending more time at home. And I'm the one spending time a little bit more away from home. Although with COVID, it's been nice because most jobs are much more flexible now. And that's really how mine has been as well. So anyway, there are just 3 points that I wanted to bring out today, because I do feel there are definite challenges that kind of present themselves to moms who decide to go ahead and work full time, whether you've always done it or whether you decide to do it, midway through being a mama, like you decide to transition from stay at home to a mom who's working full-time. I really do feel like there are definitely 3 things that I've learned that have really come out to me. So I kind of took some time to jot those down and get those straight in my mind so that I could have something a little bit structured to share with you and just kind of glean from the most valuable things. But the first point that I want to bring out is Mom guilt is real, especially if you transition from being stay-at-home or majority stay-at-home to a full-time job. And so the mom guilt, I feel like, happens when you just feel like, you know, other people are doing the things that you used to do. And so I don't know if you want to call it mom guilt or mom jealousy or whatever it is, but it is a weird transition because it's like something you've always done and you have to relinquish those sort of duties to somebody else, whether it be carpooling with, you know, dropping your kids off and picking them up from somewhere, or whether it be being there for them right after they get home from school, or whether it be, you know, scheduling things or shopping or making most of the meals, all of those different things. The thing that has really helped me as I have, you know, spent more time on the job than I have been with my kiddos, idea of quality over quantity. It's a real thing. I remember talking to a friend once who worked full time, and she had a close friend who was able to stay home full time. But the funny thing was, is that she had observed that her friend that stayed home full time was really involved in some, you know, side projects that she was doing, and she would even not be as, you know, caring for her kids as much as this friend who worked full time. She would see her, you know, so absorbed in these side projects. So it really doesn't matter if you stay at home or you work. Like, the amount of time and what you do with your kids is really about quality over quantity, because whether or not you stay home or work full time, you're going to have things you have to do that don't involve being one-on-one with the kids. So what I've noticed is that when I come home, I shut down my electronics. I choose not to use them until the kids are in bed. So my personal screen time usage is not going on while I have, you know, I can do stuff with the kids. And when I do stuff with the kids, usually I try to make it really fun. Like, I usually, for me, it's easier to go out of the house and to go on a hike or go on a walk or go run errands. For some people, they like to find projects to do in the house with the kids. But for me personally, in my mental health, I do much, much better when I'm outside the home and spending time with my kids. And they're boys, so also they love getting outside. And being inside, it's loud and they're very active, so it's a little tough. But I've noticed that as I've made sort of the goal of spending more quality time with them when I am with them, it's really improved my sense of, I guess you could say, mom guilt. It's like reduced my mom guilt, because I know when I'm at work, I can think, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to literally shut down everything and I'm going to read 3 books to this kid, and then I'm going to talk with this one and do whatever it is with the other one. And all of those things together help me really feel like I'm spending quality time rather than quantity, you know, because the quantity is just not there right now. The second thing that I wanted to bring out was, I'm trying to figure out how to word it. It's like such a weird sort of idea, but I think you'll get it once I say it. So it's the idea of, how can your presence be felt even when you're not physically there? So an example would be, you know, just the other day, I sat and organized our pantry. I made it so all the snacks for the kids were kind of in these little bins on the bottom shelf. And the kids saw me doing it. And they saw me bagging up the snacks. They saw me getting this whole system organized. And even my husband, he would never do anything like that. So it was kind of my signature thing to organize. But I know that when they go to grab a snack, even though it won't be conscious maybe, that they'll subconsciously say, like, oh, mom did this for us. And they really love it. Sometimes I even do that in the morning. I'll leave before they wake up and I'll lay out a little breakfast for them and maybe a little note for them or something for them to do. And I know that they can feel like I'm there, that they can feel like I did something special for them, even though I'm at work at that moment in time. So I don't know if you feel drawn to maybe drawing a picture so they can see it right next to where, you know, their bed, or you can put pictures on the wall or leave little notes for them, or even, you know, put together, like I said, like a fun craft or something for them to do. Anything that you can do, whether like something special for them is just leaving a little treat for them, anything that you can do is going to help them have mom in their mind. You know, mom's going to be there. Mom's going to be in their mind. Even as simple as putting your picture out, maybe you and each child can take a snapshot and you can put that picture up on their wall so that they can see that you're there and know that you're there. Side tangent idea that I want to touch on that's actually not part of the 3 main ideas that I had it's a little bit related to this, but I do want to mention that something that's really helped me is how I frame me working for my children. So if you walk around and say, well, mommy has to work because that's how it has to be. And oh, I don't want to go. And oh, it's not fun. And oh, I can't wait to be home. And I really wish I could be home with you. You may feel all of those things, but to say them out loud and to sort of talk about it in front of your kids, it may actually not really serve them the best. Like if they can see you happy that you're, you know, counting your blessings and like, wow, look at this job that allows me to go do all these fun things with you. You know, it allows us to go to the trampoline park, or it allows us to put gas in our car so we can go on a hike, or whatever it is. All of the ways that we frame those things are going to be absorbed by our children. So if they see a mom saying, oh, moms shouldn't have to work, but mom has to, you know, your mom has to, they're going to just absorb that. And they're going to feel like, well, something's wrong. Like in our family, why does the mom have to work? I think part of this comes from the fact that my mom did work. And I never really felt deprived when she did. I just didn't. Like, it wasn't talked about. It was just mom worked and that's how it was. And she was there in so many other ways. So I think it's really important how you frame it, not only for your kids, but I'll be completely honest, how you frame it for yourself. So you might have to do a little soul searching there. You might have to think about sort of any preconceived notions that you had or any cultural conditioning that you've had regarding moms working. And you may need to sit for a second with your intuition and your inner wisdom and say, what do I want to build my sort of beliefs around this on? Do I want to build them on things I've heard but don't really like really firmly believe? Or do I want to create my own things that help me feel good about what I'm doing and that I can live in a present moment? It's just really about how you frame it, like I said, for you and for your children. That's a side tangent again. That's not one of my main 3 points. This is how I am, and you guys know it. Like, I'll go on tangents till the cows come home, just because how I am. All right, the last one is, okay, are you ready? The last point to help mamas who are working full-time. Whatever you decide to do, just own it. Whatever it is. If you decide to work full-time, just own it. If you decide to work part-time, own it. If you decide to stay home, own it. I think so many times into this mode where we're kind of trying to throw the pass the buck and blame other things for what choices we make. But do we want our kids to do that when we call them out for things or when they start complaining about something that was really due to their choices? No, like we want them to own up to what they do. When they see us owning up and saying, yep, I had a choice and mommy chose to do this and this is why. And sometimes it's hard, but every choice has its pros and its cons. What happens when we're really aware like that, really self-aware? And that's, of course, a facet of emotional intelligence, right? Is being self-aware. When we show our kids that we can be self-aware and realistic, it's called real life parents for a reason. Like, we don't want to sugarcoat things. I don't want to tell you that every single day I work is amazing and that I don't want to be home, because sometimes I do. But guess what? Sometimes I want to be away from the house, and that's why I've chosen to work. And so really, it's about owning what you've decided. Say, okay, I've chosen to work full time, so I'm going to own that. And I'm going to know that some of the days that I don't want to be working, well, it's really my decision. It was my decision ultimately. Or some of the days that I'm having great things happen, that was also my decision. So just owning whatever decision you make. Don't blame it on somebody else. Really take ownership of it. And again, part of the reason for it is to show your kids that you have taken ownership for it. Say it out loud. Verbalize it. Some of the times when you're working and maybe your spouse isn't working as many hours as you are, or they're working, you know, differently than you are, or they have a more flexible job, whatever it is, we can get resentful and we play the comparison game, right? Sometimes there's dads or partners out there who, for physical reasons or health reasons, they can't work. So again, it's about how we frame it. Because whatever you decide to do, take ownership of it. Whatever you decide to do. And you get to choose your attitude too. That's the other thing. Nobody is making you have a certain kind of attitude about what you're doing. You have the choice on how to react to your circumstances around you. So again, those are the 3 points I wanted to bring out. I hope that something in there resonated with you. I'll go over them one more time just to refresh your memory, and always like reminders too. The first one is quality over quantity. The second one is, how can your presence be felt when you aren't there? And then the third one is, whatever you decide to do, just own it. Take ownership of it. Again, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. I'm so excited that you came and that you, stayed with us and stuck with us and listened all the way through to find out maybe some tips that can help you if you're a working parent and you're falling in this same category, that you can, still feel like you're successful and an intentional parent. I do want to remind you to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, whichever is your preferred social media, or on both. And also, if you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could leave a rating and a comment. Those really, really help us as far as being able to get this podcast out to more people. In addition, I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but we're always looking for more parents to come onto the podcast. And the whole idea really behind having parents on is so you can get a realistic view of parenting. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to bring on real parents with real problems. And if you have a real problem and you want live parent coaching, you have to be willing to let yourself be recorded. But we've had parents come on anonymously. They don't use their real name. We've had parents come on with their name. Either way, it's a great, great chance to chat with Sean, to get his opinion and his take on maybe some parenting challenges that you're having. And then in addition to that, you don't realize how many parents are in the same boat you are, and how his input and your authenticity is going to help them with their problems as well. There's so much you can do if you come onto a podcast. If you are interested, feel free to DM us on one of our social media channels, or you can just email us at reallifeparentspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Well, I guess this is it for this episode. I want to end in our regular saying of, here's to authentic and intentional parenting. We'll see you next time.
The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.